Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So caught up in our conversation, I almost missed our intro. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass. And we are rolling along on a Thursday. How was yesterday, guys?
It was good. Welcome back.
Good times. Thank you. Thank you. We're hoping that Lovie Smith does not have a welcome back to Chicago today, as the Texans head to Chicago to play the Bears for week three.
We want him to come in to Chicago's house to get up on the couch and to say, bleep your couch, Chicago Bears.
Like, exactly right.
Like he is Rick James in the... Dave Chappelle stories.
Yes, absolutely. Should be a good game. From what we've seen from the Bears, it's been two different weeks. They win week one in dominant fashion. Week two is a different story, and we'll go over Justin Fields' audio a little bit later. What do you need to see from the Texans? What do you want to see from the Texans as far as improvement heading into week trace?
A pulse. On offense specifically, because I think for some it will be a good game on Sunday if you are someone who's like, remember when defense was good? Let's make defense great again. You might be into that game, but this is going to be one of those ones where I wonder if anyone scores a touchdown just based off of what we've seen first from the Texans, but also from Chicago. I mean, yikes. People were thinking to themselves, you know what? This team might be good with the way that they beat the 49ers in week one in that slop fest. Maybe Justin Fields has figured it out, but he's got 28 passes through 2 weeks. 28. It's going to be, I think, one of those World War One kind of games.
Yeah.
Minus mustard gas.
Yeah.
Rats.
Naturally.
Trenches.
We don't know more about Justin Britt. It's something that I thought we would know definitively within a couple of days because Lovie Smith made it sound like originally, hey, yes, he's been on the personal list for personal reasons. He hasn't practiced. You'll know more later. We still really don't know. Unless I miss something, it seems like the Texans are supporting him, but we're not sure what's going on. That's a big deal. That's the starting center. Even though he wasn't playing well and looked out of sync, it's your starting center.
It was interesting on Monday because I assumed that when I asked Lovie about Justin Britt, that Lovie was going to say, well, you'll hear from him later in the week and that he would defer. But he called Scott Quessenberry, the backup center, when he answered that question. And he was referring to Justin Britt as if he was still the starter. So it is a very weird story that took place. Ultimately, I think we learned in week one that it wasn't that big of a deal breaker for the Texans. That they were still able to run the football and the communication wasn't a massive problem.
You mean week two?
Yes,
yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a massive problem, though, for them against the Broncos on Sunday. They weren't like totally screwing up. They weren't Nathaniel Hacketting their way across the field.
They were not Nathaniel Hacketting, that is for sure. All right. What did Davis Mills see week one, week two? He spoke at the podium on that.
There's opportunities down the field. Got to execute with those. Missed a couple throws this last game, but then if they cover up, like I said before, we got to be able to get our checkdowns the ball and let them make plays and move the ball that way. So just seeing that on film and reflecting on it, I mean, I think we're in a really good spot right now. And, I mean, those fourth quarter moments late in the game when we got to go down and do something, those what makes the make or break between a good team and a bad team.
Why did he have to say we're in a really good spot right
now?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what that was about.
I mean,
wishful thinking?
I'll take the
hope springs eternal.
Possibly. I'll take the milquetoast answer. I will. Just don't try to tell me that you guys are like in a good situation offensively. You have to have the chutzpah to throw the football down the field. And you haven't shown the ability to do that. If all of a sudden you're chucking bombs against the Bears, would I feel a little bit better? Sure, but I want to see you complete a pass to the sideline, which you've been incapable of doing to this point.
He said he wanted to use his legs more. He said he wanted. I mean, he's kind of been all over the place. I don't like what I saw from Davis Mills last week, and I was very much somebody that, hey, we need to give him a full season. We need. I might have been wrong. I don't know that we need to give him a full season. I like that Damian Pierce got more touches. Hopefully that continues.
Yeah, just give Damian Pierce the ball every play. How about that?
Sean.
The Pierce cat.
Lifelong Houstonian. What do you need to see from the hometown team as they head to Chi-Town this week?
Low-key, they kind of need a win. because Loki. If they don't win this one, it gets pretty tough.
Why not high key?
But low key.
Wait, because I think I get what you're saying, because most people are like, oh, they just need to compete. And you're like, no, they need the dub.
No, like if you don't want to be 0-5-1, like you kind of need to win this one.
Right.
Just to have a win in the column, because I think they played the Jags in like week 6 or something. But we're already talking about like I think they played the Chargers. They have another tough game where it's like, don't even bother showing up. So this is the most winnable game. Lovie Smith going back home.
Yeah.
You gotta rally the troops. You gotta circle the wagons around Lovie. And he has to prove it to all those lazy Chicago Bears fans that, you know, he's at his dream job right now.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
right.
Hey, we'll get to Lovie in a second. Let's talk about Mills and what they need to hone in on as an offense, which was one of the areas that they struggled in the most.
Just keeps training, trying to make plays. I mean, we do it out here in practice. We did it all camp throughout preseason. Just got to execute once we get in the games. Starts with me. I got to make all the throws, and I know that. But just got to keep pushing for what we've been training for. And, I mean, I think we're ready to perform. We just got to do it.
Starts with me. Getting O'Brien flashbacks.
Yeah.
The horror.
O'Brien would have loved Davis Mills because he doesn't say anything to the media.
Yeah, but I also think O'Brien would be throwing temper tantrums with some of the throws that Davis Mills has been incapable of making. Maybe he'd wait a couple of weeks to get to that point. But remember at the end of the season in 2016 with Brock Osweiler, there's this famous story about how Brock had to go back into a game where Tom Savage got hurt. And Brock was like, you need me in the National Football League to play out on the field in the National Football League. And O'Brien was just like yelling at him and stuff. So I don't think it would have been great. The thing with Mills that I also heard during the press conference, he brought up how the Texans are a running football team and that they will throw off of the run. And that is true. I mean, if they can actually commit to the run over the long course of a game, maybe there will be more things open downfield, but everything you're hearing from Mills and seeing from Mills, it's like he might be a game manager plus, and it's kind of what everyone thought he was going to be going into the year, you know? Like, even if you gave him a full year, what was the realistic expectation? And you're hearing him kind of confirm it with his words and his actions.
Are you okay with the fact that he may be the guy for this year and even next year for a rebuild?
I don't want him here next year.
You want them to draft somebody.
Yeah. At some point, I'll get into the spin zoning of the Texans being an absolute disaster and telling myself, you know what? Yeah, it's fine to have a better draft pick, but I hate playing for draft picks.
You've made that clear.
All right,
Lovie Smith is heading back to a city he's very familiar. He served as head coach of the Chicago Bears. Also familiar with Illinois in general, as he was head coach of the Illini. Here's Lovie Smith on his Mims of Chicago.
Mims.
Absolutely. I get a chance to have my dream job here based on starting there. A lot of great time. We still have a home there. Friends, my wife from Chicago. So all positive, appreciative of everything that happened there, doing my time there.
What do you think the tribute video for Lovie Smith will be like? I'm coming home, coming home. It shows Lovie Smith without a giant beard on his face. He's like walking across the field in slow motion.
I loved Lovie Smith's time in Chicago.
Got to show the run
up. Very good for me personally.
Well, yes, because the Colts beat the Bears in the Super Bowl. The build up to that Super Bowl, though, you show all the things that happened before they lost to Indianapolis, the playoff stretch run. And then you just like, I guess, cycle through Lovie Smith on the sideline, trying not to be disappointed in Caleb Haney, Josh McCown, Rex Grossman, and all the other quarterbacks they had.
It'll just be a whole bunch of Peanut Tillman forced fumbles.
Yeah.
Him hugging Brian Urlacher.
Ooh, that's a good one. Lance Briggs maybe makes an appearance.
Yeah.
Maybe. Devin Hester?
Oh, yeah, Devin Hester.
Gotta have Devin Hester.
Because he discovered Devin Hester, I guess. He gets credit for that. I don't know.
Lovie Smith's offense was based off of punt returns.
He was the best offensive player.
Yes, that's classic Chicago Bears. Their best offensive player ever was a cornerback who returned kicks.
I think he'll be welcomed back in Chicago. I mean, I think people will be happy to at least see. He did take them to a Super Bowl.
Well,
I think he'll get that warm welcome.
We touched on this yesterday, Vanessa, and maybe we can do it in greater detail yesterday. But, I mean, take a look at Bears history. It's been pretty damn bad, you know, especially since Lovie Smith, before Lovie Smith, who was it? Like Dick Duron, who I think had an 11-5 season with Anthony the A-Train Thomas back in 2001. Yes, the original A-Train, not that knockoff soup. So they have had some really rough times. I counted it up. Guess how many times they've been to the playoffs since 1950?
Since 1950, how many times?
So 70 years.
72 years. There have been 72 years. How many times do you think they've made the playoffs?
Five.
Okay. So they're better than that, but only 19 times in 72 years, considering
your... Five seemed very low, but I figured I'd start from the bottom.
See, you know what,
Smith
though?
Made it 5 years.
Yeah, I
like that you made it five. The Chicago Bears fans are like, thank you for...
Yeah,
like, we're a little bit better than what you think.
You're welcome. I think he'll be welcomed back, but it is, as our producer Sean Mape said, I think it's critical that they get a win. They won four games the last year they had Deshaun under center. They then won four games last year with Tyrod Taylor / Davis Mills starting and Deshaun sitting out. They need to win more than four games in order for the rebuild to be building.
Yes.
I sound like Emmanuel Acho, but I think it's true. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Who are the most insufferable quarterbacks in the NFL? We're going to play you some audio, and we want your opinion on this, too. That's next. But first, let me tell you about the home that you own, not Lovie Smith's home in Chicago. Your home, dang it. TGS Insurance is going to help you out and save you a lot of money. There's so much inflation right now. 30, 40, even 50% increases are happening. So make the switch to TGS. Why do so many of my listeners switch? Because it's fast and because it's easy. You don't have to talk to an agent. And it happens within 15 seconds. All you got to do, take out your phone, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. The system is going to ask for your address. You send it back. And within 15 seconds, you have a full quote. And you don't even have to talk to a human, which is so annoying when you have to do that. Simple, fast, easy, big savings. Text MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, when Aaron Rodgers went on his retreat, now not the one a couple of months ago where he did the 11-day cleanse diet where he didn't eat, but the other one where he did ayahuasca, it made people ask a lot of questions. A, what's ayahuasca? B, what effect does it have on you?
C, how can I get some?
Right, well, I'll ask you. So, as the Packers beat the Bears... They did a fun ayahuasca-type celebration. People thought they were pouring shots, but then we found out it was clarified by players that it was an ayahuasca conversation. Aaron Rodgers really wants you to know that this is not a drug. This is something just natural.
Words are spells, and they are spelled a certain way or pronounced a certain way, and there is power in the specific word. So you just use the word drug, right, to refer to ayahuasca.
This guy.
And you know, there's been... you know, I saw a few articles people sent me about us doing the tea celebration. And I just want to stop you there right away because the reference to ayahuasca, you know, or even marijuana, putting the tag drug on them is a manipulative word that creates a bias against those specific things. And it happens all over society.
Let's start off with the fact that he began that statement by saying, words are spells.
Words are spells. The English language is very important.
He has definitely had a lot of influence from Blue of Earth.
Blue of Earth.
His girlfriend, who is also a witch.
Yeah.
Bad the Witch! Yeah.
By the way, she was on Aubrey Marcus's or whatever's podcast before
him. My favorite.
She was on it before him.
Who's Aubrey Marcus?
The guy that he revealed the ayahuasca to.
Oh, okay.
She was on Aubrey whatever's podcast, and then a couple weeks later, he went on it. So he's definitely influenced by Blue of Earth. It's just like when he dated Danica, he started getting into racing. Then he dated Shailene Woodley. He started putting clay on his face and not wearing deodorant. Now he's with a witch, so he's going to be witchy. I get it. He's like the J-Lo of men. You know how J-Lo would adjust to anybody she dated?
Minus the butt.
When she dated Puff Daddy, she all of a sudden wore do-rags. When she dated... Ben Affleck first time.
Are you saying she was appropriating her man's?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. That's what Aaron Rodgers does with women. He adopts the personality of whoever he dates.
Hmm.
So, yeah, he's going to be a witch.
Is it a coping mechanism? Is
absolutely. This he doesn't have a family.
This how he...
That he talks to. It's totally a coping mechanism. No, he doesn't. I mean, think about it. He doesn't talk
to
his siblings.
No, you're not wrong. It's just like, boom, roasted. Yeah, he doesn't have a family.
He doesn't talk to his family. So whoever he dates, I think, becomes a very critical part of his life. I have been to therapy, if you can't tell.
I had a friend, by the way, text me last night that he's going on an ayahuasca retreat.
Okay.
I'm wondering if he heard Aaron Rodgers on Joe Rogan.
100%. I had never heard of ayahuasca.
I had not either.
Are you asking for an extra plane ticket to Peru, Paul?
Paul's going
to the Mayan jungle to take part in a week-long ayahuasca ceremony. I'm not even kidding.
Wait,
actual text from my friend.
Is this a yacht week friend?
No, this is someone that you would not expect to go on something like this. I'm happy. Good for him.
Good for him. Good for one of Russell Wilson's former teammates. And this is somebody, KJ Wright, that you have said you really liked. Mm-hmm. KJ Wright and Richard Sherman did a podcast. And KJ got into some of the... it is called the Richard Sherman Show.
Shout out
to the Richard Sherman Show. KJ got into some of the special treatment that Russ was given in Seattle.
He was not held to the same accountability as the rest of us. You bashing the defense. I need you to at least mention his name in the team meeting room.
But there wasn't enough years difference for the accountability thing to be like that. Well, he was young. It's like, well, he was a year younger than us. Like, he ain't that young. When you got 52 guys being held to a certain standard, you got one guy not being held to the standard, then it's going to cause some friction. After a while, it had to get to the point where he chose Russ or the defense. And after the Super Bowl loss, he kind of made it pretty clear who he was choosing. And then you hear the truth from Pete for the first time, you know, after the game.
Coach Carroll is funny.
He is funny.
He is funny. You went 10 years keeping everything tight in the locker room. Let's keep it tight. As soon as this man leaves, you let it all air out.
Well, I guess you only protect the team when you own the team, kid.
Exactly.
I loved this. And you provided more insight into the fact that this is pretty rare for KJ.
KJ Wright is like extremely stand up, has guys' backs, and doesn't talk trash. And this wasn't him really talking trash. This was more him just confirming what Richard Sherman and a bunch of other Seahawks had been saying for years. And there are times where they sound like bitter exes about the way that Russell Wilson was treated. Russell Wilson's the quarterback. But there is an element of where with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, Belichick always treated Brady like any other player. I don't know how it operates organization to organization, but I'm a big believer that every single player on the team should be considered on the same level. It is
well,
a
the
team
good
game.
Quarterbacks are harder on themselves than anybody else.
That's true, too.
Brady was Peyton Manning. I mean, the good quarterbacks don't need to be disciplined or held accountable.
In Russell Wilson's defense, I think that he is very hard on himself and that he does work his ass off. The problem is that the guy came into this team with an unbelievable level of entitlement. There's a story that was, I think, written by Greg Bishop in Sports Illustrated, where Greg went into a suite with Russell Wilson for a Mariners game, and he had to sign a non-disclosure agreement just to go into the suite. And that's the only part of the story that he wrote about. But speaking of suites, another thing that Russell Wilson, who was a third-round draft pick, by the way, and was able to beat out Matt Flynn as the starting quarterback going into that year in the offseason, when he got the starting quarterback role, he thought to himself that since he's the starting quarterback, that he gets a suite at CenturyLink Field, at Lumen Field. And the Seahawks were like, yo, Pete Carroll doesn't even get that. Like,
right.
What are you talking about? So it started there, and I think that Pete Carroll tried to manage Russell Wilson by maybe being a little bit more accommodating than he needed to, because the guy is essentially someone who wants the entire
world.
Well,
we also never know what the owners are whispering in their ear and what the GMs are whispering there.
Daniel Snyder with RG3, that was a big problem.
It's not always the coach making the call on how those guys are treated. So hearing from, you know, Russell Wilson's former teammates, hearing from Aaron Rodgers, who really wants to educate us on plants, it made me think about maybe a little exercise we could do where we list our most insufferable quarterbacks currently in the NFL.
Okay.
As Sean Mapes pointed out, our producer, there's a lot of them. So give me your top three. We all could have hella honorable mentions, but who are the three that you can't stand? I'm going to start. Can't stand Kyler Murray.
Good.
I can't do it. He plays video games, then he complains. He had to get a homework clause in his contract. He hasn't been that successful. Can't do Kyler.
Murray's one of my top three, and I'll say this about Kyler Murray. The fact that he liked The Great Gatsby as his favorite
movie
ever.
But not the good
ever.
The Great Gatsby.
Right.
The old one with Robert Redford.
The one with Tobey Maguire prominently featured and a bunch of CGI DUIs.
Yeah.
He loved that one and he wore a pink suit to the draft because he loved, again, The Great Gatsby as his favorite movie. That was the red flag that should have taken him off many teams' draft boards.
So true. Number two coming in for me, Baker Mayfield. I know what he did for the city of Cleveland, that first playoff win in 3 decades. But if you talk all the smack, you got to back it up. And he has not backed it up.
Did him being on all those commercials make him more insufferable?
Made it worse because guys like Tom Brady, like Peyton Manning, the great quarterbacks, wouldn't do advertisements if their play was suffering that badly. They just wouldn't.
That's true.
Number three, Carson Wentz. Here's the thing. I think Carson might have gotten a little bit, dare I say.
Washington has one win. The Colts
too much flack at the end of last year. I very much drank the Kool-Aid, et cetera, that he was the problem.
Matt Ryan, so much better.
He has, in two cities and two locker rooms that he's been in, left with the taste in the mouth of the men in the locker room that this was not a great leader, et cetera. So Carson Wentz is no longer my number one. He is my number three. He is still on the list.
Okay.
Insufferable quarterbacks. Kyler number one, Baker number two, Carson Wentz number three.
Gotcha.
Paul, go.
Okay, I think a lot of you guys are going to think that I'm going to put Russell Wilson at number one. I'm not. I'm actually going to put Russell Wilson at three here.
Okay.
For all of the crap, he is still damn good. And
look at
you
Paul
can
coming around.
You can well look, he annoys the hell out of me to no end.
That's what 16 points against the Texans earned you.
And he I don't know is the same player anymore, Sean. You're right on that too. Like I wonder going forward how that'll be. But there was a time where I thought this guy was a top two quarterback. Like, I thought it was he and Patrick Mahomes going into the 2020 season. And then he had that awesome first half, and then he kind of got a little too crazy with it. But the guy, at the very least, has played well. Kyler Murray is number two for me. Number one, Derek Carr. The most sensitive quarterback
that I said you're the most like
that has ever lived. I'm just going to ignore that you said that.
Uh-huh.
Derek Carr is consistently mad about what is said about him. And going into this year where he finally gets his... Nothing is ever said about me, Vanessa. That's what I'm mad about. Because I don't matter, okay? Anyway, back to Derek Carr. He got Davante Adams. What do you got to show for it? You're 0-2. And, I mean, this is the year. It was supposed to be the year. You have consistently talked about that all the time and whined about how like you might not be the guy... I'm sorry. Like we need to see more for you to get up there and get so combative with your fake Southern accent when you're at the podium. He is from Bakersfield.
It's a great
I know
point.
He lived in Houston for
he
a little bit.
He lived here for a hot second.
But he is from Bakersfield, and he sounds like he is straight off the set of Friday Night Lights.
All right, Sean, top three insufferable quarterbacks.
So all the guys you named are all honorable mentions, including Kyler Murray. I just want to say, Kyler Murray, good game last week. You get spared off this list for now.
But recency bias, but okay.
Your personality sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to go number three, the guy we just talked about, Derek Carr. Absolutely insufferable. For all these, I just try to think of, like, what's the time that I like them? Like, what are the redeeming qualities mm-hmm. of them? Derek Carr has, like, no redeeming qualities to me. Like, personality-wise, I'm like,
right.
He is absolutely, like, I have nothing for him. Along the same line, number two, Kirk Cousins.
He has the dad factor, though.
Get this guy off my Monday Night Football, all right? I've seen him so much in primetime, peeing down his leg, and all how you like that, or whatever. What was it? You like that. He's still milking that.
Yeah, you like that.
That's literally the only time anyone's ever been like, wow, Kirk Cousins. And that was like a decade ago. Kirk Cousins, get out of my face. Get out of my league. My league. And speaking of get out of my league, your time's up, old man. Tom Brady.
Whoa!
Oh, number one!
Whoa,
Paul's Lord and Savior.
He's run football literally for as long as I can remember. So that sucks.
No, it's good. He's like the peace in our time because the Patriots kept winning.
I don't.
And the Bucks.
Further peace in our time?
Peace.
What year did he win his first Super Bowl?
Never 2002.
My only thing with Tom Brady is he's gotten, growing up as a Colts fan, less insufferable to me, which is why he didn't make his
See, my list. I think he's gotten more, the more personality he's gotten to show since he went to Tampa Bay, he falls in, his social media is very LeBron James,
it's curated.
Russell Wilson, yeah. Like, look how goofy I, look how funny I am.
I think it's a little more
look
funny.
At these Photoshop things of me throwing the ball and catching it myself. Right. And like, it's like, what are we doing?
The most relatable he's ever been was at the podium when he said, I'm 45 and I got a lot of S going on.
Even that, it's like, you're being so dramatic. Like, I don't, stop, old man.
I think he's been annoying, but I do old not man. Like that you're dragging Tom into LeBron James and Russell Wilson Ooh. Levels of authenticity online. Like, those are the two fakest uh-huh. people in sports on the internet. No, come on, man. Those are the two.
And the bronze medalist. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest quarterback of all time.
I can't believe this is my life.
Yeah, see that. Taco Tuesday! Shut up.
But, I mean, he's gotten pretty bad.
Yeah, I'll admit that. I'll admit it.
He released, he's not he in that release, conversation. Like some like weird comic book strip after every win or like magazine cover or something? Where, like,
he definitely has a branding team.
Yeah. Like,
that their mission was to make Tom Brady more likable.
Yeah, and now this whole lifestyle brand stuff.
It's like politicians,
like
their political team, their job is to identify the demographics they're not doing well with and then make them go into those cities and play pickup basketball and act like, no, I mean, it's a thing. Tom Brady's people did that.
The TB12 thing, it's too much like, it's like, were you trying to be Gwyneth Paltrow of the NFL? Like, you're trying to start a goop for men? Get out of here.
Not
Tom
Sean
Brady. Insufferable. Retire.
That's our list. Let us know. Tweet us, text us. Let us know your most insufferable quarterbacks.
Tom Brady, my producer Sean here does not know what he says.
Oh yeah,
he does not know what wrath
forgive
he
him
may be calling.
So he knows not what he does.
Forgive him for he does not know.
Do not
coming up on Vanessa
down.
And Gallant, we're going around the NFL with some of the biggest stories. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Vanessa and Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
It is football time. We will have some Thursday night football tonight.
Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns.
It's an old rivalry.
It's Mitchell Trubisky and Jacoby Brissett.
How do we think that one's going to play out?
Badly. I think that here's the question. Where will more points be scored? Browns, Steelers, or Bears, Texans?
Ooh, I think Browns, Steelers, right? Jacoby Brissett every now and then can turn it on.
Cleveland can run the football.
Nick Chubb is probably the best offensive player in
both those
games.
Yes. I would agree.
The Cleveland Browns, by the way, held a players-only meeting after two games.
Hell
now, this
yeah.
is a players-only meeting, no matter what sport you're in. Usually happens, like, the Mariners, I think, had one at some point in the season. I mean, like, it's
yes.
usually halfway, three quarters in. You got some young guys that are disagreeing with the old guys, whatever. Two games in is odd.
It's usually after there's some sort of disaster that
right.
took place, whether it be off the field or it's a loss. A loss to the Jets where you're up 13 points with less than 2 minutes to go and you actually lose definitely qualifies as a disaster when Joe Flacco is the quarterback under center. How they blew that is really still difficult to understand. Players-only meetings are funny. It generally means, too, that the head coach is not someone that the team has a lot of faith in. And I enjoy that mainly because there have been so many people that are online football media that love to praise guys like Kevin Stefanski or Brandon Staley. And just to zag, I generally like to see those people end up being wrong.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like Stefanski. This is not a good sign for Stefanski. And, I mean, the Browns just have to make it until Deshaun Watson is back under center, which is the Texans game, which is, what is it, early December, mid-November, week 11 or something like that, week 12, technically. I wonder if Stefanski gets through to that point.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like with all the things when they brought in Deshaun Watson, it didn't really seem like he had a whole, like he didn't talk a lot about it. It's almost like it's not his team. Like
yeah.
Andrew Barry, you know what I mean?
I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, he's just not vocal.
100%. And Haslam's had a quick trigger finger before.
Right.
I mean, who was the guy who had the job for 1 year? Which one? Freddie Kitchens? Rob Chudzinski? they've had a bunch of guys where they've just taken out back pretty quickly. But they didn't do it with Hugh Jackson for some reason, who got like 3 years in the league, despite being historically the worst coach in NFL history based off of winning percentage.
All right, Justin Fields had some controversial comments that made a lot of Bears fans very angry when he said something along the lines of, we're the ones putting in the work, they're not, etc. Yesterday, no shocker here, the quarterback for the Chicago Bears backtracked that.
You know, I was mad after the game, and I mean, I like to address this now to get everything cleared up, but, you know, there was a thing that I said on Sunday after the game where I said, you know, the fans don't put in work. And when I was, you know, first off, you know, I was frustrated after the game. So, you know, number one, I didn't want to come and talk to you guys. I wasn't in the mood to come and talk to you guys. So, you know, I should have did a better job explaining what I meant by that. But when I meant by that was I'm talking about work, you know, regarding game on Sunday, winning the game. You know, I don't know any fans. I don't know what they're doing in their personal lives. And I respect every fan that we have. I'm, you know, glad that we have fans.
Just say sorry.
You know, I would never disrespect, you know, anybody on what they do or what they love to do.
Now he sounds like Deshaun Watson.
I mean, sorry seems to be the hardest word. What are you doing?
Seriously. I would never disrespect.
Oh, God.
I stand on my innocence. I would never disrespect a Bears fan.
He just needs to say, hey, that came out wrong. I apologize. How did he get to the point where he felt like he needed to apologize? Who doesn't love a good talk with their pops? Here's Justin Fields on that.
Yeah. You know, I talked to my dad about it. And, you know, I mean, as long as I'm going to be in this position, you know, there's always going to be stuff like that pops up. So just knowing that, you know, as long as I'm in this profession, that it's really never going to go away. So I just got to either be really, you know, clear to, you know, everything that I say, be really descriptive of what I really mean, or just really not say anything at all.
He is learning from this. And you got to know about some of the historical context of your franchise when you join a team.
It's a good point.
I think that there's a lot of players that come into the league that, like, don't give a damn about it at all. It's nice to know history just so that maybe you'll have a little bit of a stronger relationship with the fan base in your city. The Bears' record against the Green Bay Packers since 1992 is 14-46. When you lose to that team, it hurts. There are people in Chicago. You lived in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Like, Chicago and Green Bay aren't that far away from one another. There's tons of people in probably Chicago that are Packers fans, and you got to deal with that year after year after year after year. And to have a fan say, like, you haven't been through anything. Sure, they're not going to the gym and lifting, but Bears fans have had it pretty rough since 1950.
You know what's funny is my dad was a huge Packers fan because he was like 28 by the time Indy got a team. And, like, I was always amazed that the quote-unquote rivalries that the Colts had weren't filled with very much vitriol, because it's almost like there wasn't enough history there because they moved from... The Packers-Bears is, like, straight up, there is hatred. Like, it's not just fun and games for everybody. It's not just this, like... And again...
It's the oldest rivalry in the NFL.
Who's the Texans rivalry? Like,
It's like kind of the Titans, but and the Colts doing to them what the Packers do to the Bears right now.
But there's not that true, like, if you're a Bears fan and I'm a Packers fan, we're not talking that whole week. That's how it is. So I like what you said. You got to know your team. I think Joe Burrow tries to act like he knows his team. I think he does. But Joey B has made the decision that so long as the Bengals are not doing well, he's in ghost mode.
How much of the reaction to the 0-2 start have you felt seen?
Well, what's great is I don't have Twitter or Instagram right now, so I've seen none of it. We're focused on what's going on in there. I'm sure it's not a very good reaction. but I think it'll be a different reaction as we get going here.
You made a face.
Yeah, because I liked Joe Burrow a lot.
I liked.
And it wasn't just the magical run. It was, here's this Midwest kid that seems to be liked by everybody in the locker room. Now it's easy to be liked when you're winning. But now he's getting into this Hollywood type deal, and it's just not the Joey B I loved.
The mink coat that he wore, that might have been where
the veneers
he
are aggressive. The mink coat is aggressive.
I don't mind the veneers.
I get a boob job, nose job, veneers, whatever you want. I don't care. It's just the whole, like, well, we don't pay attention to the outside. No, yes, you do.
In his defense, this could have been worse. because LeBron James is the kind of person that would announce he's going Zero Dark 30,
right.
Whatever the hell that means. He would make a post to say that he is going off of social media. Like, I'm announcing, everybody, I am leaving social media.
You
should probably
leave
too, because I'm not here anymore.
My favorite thing is when people, and it's mostly women my age, are like, did the best thing ever. Took a break from social media. It honestly cleared my mind so much. Have you ever tried it? It's like, yeah, but you're announcing it on social media.
It's because, Vanessa, I had to take a break from,
okay, Anna Delvey.
From my social anxiety, from my mentals, you know? Have you ever heard of that?
Just put your phone away. Talk to your friends. It's all good. If you want to bet on the Bengals, maybe you have hope for the Bears. Maybe you think the Texans are going to turn it around. You can do it all at BUSR.com/ESPN. You can double your deposit, by the way, within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? Maybe you like the way the Astros killed the Rays and you're thinking, yep, I want to take them to the World Series. The Astros, you can still get at plus 400, by the way. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN. Start placing your bets. Maybe you're a roulette guy. Maybe you're a blackjack gal. The good news, you can do it all at BUSR.com/ESPN.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Yo, you ready for the Bayou Bucket? It's coming up on Saturday. Let's go Rice, huh? Rice, can they perhaps put the Cougs on their heels? The Cougs just lost to Kansas. Pretty disappointing game. This might actually be a real close one. Caller number three, you're going to get a special ticket package for the game. A family four pack. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips, four regular sodas for just $96. Dollars, but caller number 3-713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Bun B, Paul Wall, they're going to be performing live at it as well. XO, I don't know who that is. Sounds great. Go to uhcougars.com/promo, enter promo code RICE4PACK, or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. May the best caller win.
We love you guys. It's going to be a fun weekend, whether you're a Coug or you're an Owl. This is always, regardless of the result of the game, I've said before, I know Rice is kind of...
I love Rice people.
Yeah, I love Rice people. I'm a big fan of Mike Bloomgren and the program that he's putting together. Obviously, we know Dana, love Dana. So this is just a fun day for the city, and I'm glad that they're continuing to do this. Rough day to be a Celtics fan. Actually, rough couple of weeks because they've had so many injuries.
Yeah, Robert Williams had surgery.
I mean, this has not been a good run. And last night, it got even worse. Adrian Wojnarowski initially reported that Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka was facing a suspension for his role in conduct detrimental to the team. We didn't really know what that was. It was then revealed a couple of hours later that it was for a relationship with a female staff member. His latest tweet, Boston Celtics coach Ime Udoka is likely facing a suspension for the entire 2022-2023 season for his role in a consensual relationship with a female staff member, sources tell ESPN. A formal announcement is expected as soon as today, and that was today at 9 a.m.
Oof. And for those who don't know, Ime is engaged to someone named Nia Long.
They have a kid together as well.
Yes. Nia Long was in Boys in the Hood, by the way, for those who don't know. Soul Food, The Best Man. She was also in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in the
90s. She's very, very famous in the 90s and early 2000s and is still thought of as kind of a legend.
Yes. So I'm surprised by the reaction from a penalty perspective because, look, you make a commitment to somebody, you should try to honor it, right? I've never been engaged. I don't plan on being engaged anytime soon because I think I'm too much of a dog, to be perfectly honest.
Whoa. No, but at least you have that self, that honesty.
I would not want to hurt a significant other with something that I did. I really would not.
So Paul Gallant's got that dog in him, Sean. Do you hear this?
The song from Temple of the Dog. Like I don't know. And also I just think about my own parents' relationship and how it fell apart for them. But anyway, not enough about me. I'm surprised seeing the reaction that he might get suspended for a full season, which coming on the heels of an owner being suspended for a full season for comments, it seems.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really know how you're supposed to punish anybody anymore when you're doing something that is frowned upon, but doesn't actually hurt your team or your bottom line true way.
Right. I said this before the show. I do understand the push to make sure that relationships in the workplace are professional, and that has something to do not only with the Me Too movement, but just power dynamics. And if we really want to get deep on this, Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, you know, mm-hmm. Monica Lewinsky was just treated so poorly by the entire United States and all that. And then now that we know more 20 some years later, we recognize that although she shouldn't have done that with a married man, obviously, that there was a huge power dynamic in an intern and the president of the United States. We know more about that. So I do understand and respect that the Celtics take this seriously and they don't want to make a female staff member feel pressured. That being said, if it was completely consensual, and if she didn't make any complaints about that, I do fail to see the angle of a whole season.
Yeah. And it's a bad look, no doubt about it. And he's going to be embarrassed with it. But like, is public shame in a situation like that, isn't that enough?
Well, it's not good for the woman. I mean, the other thing is that people are going to find out who this woman is. Who, again, per reports, now we could find out more today, but per reports, it was consensual. So
she should have known better, too. I get the power dynamic thing is really tricky.
I'm not saying there was a power dynamic. I'm saying
there could have been,
that's
though.
Why things like this,
the Me Too movement. No doubt.
But maybe there wasn't. And if there wasn't, and if they just liked each other.
There's a certain point where you can definitely, I imagine, say something about it. And yeah, maybe you're going to end up getting canned as a result. So I can understand. Like, that's the power dynamic that we're talking about.
Sure.
Like, hey, are you going to talk to your bosses about the head coach of the Boston Celtics making a move on you? But if you, after a certain point of time, are into it, then yeah, you got to know better than this. I don't think he should be suspended. I'm a little biased on this front, I'm not going to lie, seeing as I'm a Celtics fan.
But I'm not, it's tricky.
It's weird that this is something that's being thought of as a penalty. Like, I get it a little bit more with Robert Sarver because it does affect the bottom line of the NBA. What does this affect other than Ime Udoka or his fiance or this girl? Like, it seems like this is a love triangle. It affects three people.
Right. Well,
and
I think the key
they all
is,
look bad right now.
I think the key is that it maybe is in some handbook or something because it was conduct detrimental to the team. I do think that there should be a suspension. I think the fact that it's could be a full season per Adrian Wojnarowski, that's where it gets dicey. Another big story this week, and quite frankly, since ESPN released an investigative report, is that Robert Sarver, owner of the Phoenix Suns and the WNBA's Phoenix Mercury, will now sell the team. He was initially suspended a year by Adam Silver. And then you had a lot of players speaking out, saying that they thought that this is something that should be nipped in the bud, that he needs to sell the team. I like this tweet from Sam Amico. He's a senior NBA writer for HoopsWire.com. Bob Iger, the former Disney CEO and pal of Adam Silver, could be the next in line to own the Suns. Iger had an interest before, but was shot down. In an interesting twist, Disney owns ESPN, which uncovered the Sarver story. I'm sure it could be just a coincidence, but that is, you know, it's interesting to say the least.
See, the Sarver thing's all about the money. Like, that's why he's thinking about PayPal pulled out. They said, hey.
And there were going to be more.
Right. I mean, and that was the first domino to fall, and I think he realized, shoot, the company I own is going to lose a ton of value, and I may as well get out while I still can. You'd like to think this was some noble gesture, but sort of like with Donald Sterling and the Los Angeles Clippers, where Sterling lost the team essentially as the byproduct of a divorce after ownership had been transferred and things got super
heated. Yeah, you got to get a prenup, guys.
Heated.
Just FYI.
If you have that kind of money, it's probably a good idea.
Yeah, probably. It's like, should be a requirement.
Would you get a prenup with someone you married?
If there was a lot of money involved, yeah.
See, No question.
No question.
It's a tough question to ask.
What about you?
I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to make a ton of money, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
I would have a hard time broaching the subject. And also, as I've said, like, I'm not sure I'm ever going to get married. I really don't feel, I don't know that that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I would have a hard time. If someone wanted to bring it up to me, I would probably just be like, yeah, sure, I get it. But like Paul said, it's a hard conversation. I feel like to be like, hey, so by the way, if this doesn't work out,
how do you
we're
going
to get married, we love each other. Yeah. If this doesn't work out, though, I need to make sure I keep my bread.
You gotta butter. And speaking of the bread, you gotta butter the bread somehow before what do you do? You're like,
go
hey, honey, here's some champagne. By the way, got some paperwork for you.
If I'm the one making more money, there will be a prenup involved. I'm just saying.
No, like, no, I'm not judging.
I understand that as the like. It is the right thing to do to like, protect yourself.
If mama's making the money,
yes.
you ain't getting half of it. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying
Paul's judging
for me
so
personally.
Hard
I'm not judging.
It's a move that like I don't think I would stress out about it so much.
Right.
Like it would be something I think about for like weeks.
Well, here's what I'm thinking about right now, because I've just consistently seen like where there is a divorce. Like I've only heard stories about how like, oh, the man had half of his taken away. Maybe I'm reminded of it constantly by a certain someone in my family. I've never really thought about it on the other side of things.
Yeah.
The idea of like some like Kevin Federline guy.
Right.
Like,
why does Kevin deserve?
I never thought about it.
Right. Yeah.
He's a dad, you know? He did a lot of work.
Okay, so she
when
should
he had
pay
sex
for
with Britney Spears.
For the proper amount that the kids need. And my parents were married for 33 years. I fully believe in the sanctity of marriage. I'm just saying.
No,
I'm making more money.
I'm not judging.
You ain't getting half. Todd, or whoever I married.
Sam, Justin. I think this is the correct approach.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's easier for a woman to bring that up with a guy as opposed to the other way around.
Very true.
I think that, because I think if a guy knows he's like out kicking his coverage, or if like all of a sudden he's got like a meal ticket, he's like, yeah, I get it.
Right. All right. So now we know where we all stand. We all went off the tracks.
We figured something out.
Shout out to the NBA. Season starts soon. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Yes, the Astros had another successful weekend in Tampa. What does it mean for the playoffs? And we previewed JV in Baltimore first. Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
Yes. BUSR.com/ESPN. That is where you want to go for all things gambling. And guess what? You double your deposit up to $1,000 within the first 24 hours. Maybe you're thinking to yourself that the Texans and the Bears aren't going to score many points tonight. Why not bet the under? On a Sunday. Maybe you feel the same way about the Steelers and the Browns tonight. Bet the under. Unders only today. That's what we are doing. But you can also bet on blackjack. You can bet on roulette. You can bet on all sorts of things. BUSR.com/ESPN. Sign up today. Double your deposit today. Play, win, and enjoy yourself. It's BUSR.com/ESPN.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.